This podcast is supported by Elite Sports Travel. Visit elitesportstravel.co.uk to view the various packages available to watch live NFL games in the US. Bookings are currently available for the Super Bowl in February and also the 2023 season in Las Vegas. Now let's get into the podcast.
This is Ryan Fitzpatrick, and you're listening to the Neil Reynolds Podcast.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Neil Reynolds Podcast, brought to you in association with Elite Sports Travel. And this week, we're going to check in with one of the best young stars in the NFL. So he's a Pro Bowl tight end who used to play for the Detroit Lions, but he's made a seamless transition with the Minnesota Vikings after a trade at the end of October. So we're going to catch up with TJ Hockenson, who is, as I said, a very exciting player. It's going to be a big part of the Vikings as they try to make a charge towards the Super Bowl. So here is my conversation with Minnesota Vikings tight end TJ Hockenson. So TJ, was growing up, was football a big part of your life? Did you get into the sport at a young age?
Yeah, I mean, it's been around since I was little. I got two older brothers, so you know, they're a lot older than me. So just growing up, you know, they were in high school, you know, playing the sport, just been around it for forever. And then, you know, when I was able to start playing, I was in flag for a long time, and then finally I was able to be in tackle football by sixth grade. So you know, it's always been around my life. Truly fell in love with it when I was in high school, and decided that was what I kind of wanted to focus on. So
very interesting that you went to Iowa. What a school for tight ends. And I'll just let you know, through our work together in the UK and on Sky Sports NFL, I'm good friends with Dallas Clark, pretty good tight end at Iowa. So, I mean, was maybe all the tight ends, all the success there, does that factor in when you're deciding where you're going to go to school?
That definitely helped. Yeah, 100%. You know, Dallas is my guy too. I love Dallas. You know, we keep in touch all the time, and you know, just the history of the tight end position at the University of Iowa has been, you know, it's special for me to be a part of that for sure. You know, I mean, you got guys, I mean, just in my room alone when I was a freshman, it was Noah Fant, George Kittle, me. You know, that's a room that, you know, you don't get to be a part of very often. So just to remember that, to remember having George in that room and learning from him, being an older guy, and now me being in the league and training with him in the offseason, and still, you know, building that friendship and just being able to be together has been great. But, you know, you got guys like you said, Dallas Clark, you know, Moyaki, you got guys that have been through that program that just are super successful. And you know, it's such a, like I said, a special thing to be a part of.
You're not allowed to say the words Dallas or Clark, but who were your favorite tight ends growing up?
Tony Moyaki, you know, Tony Gonzalez, but yeah, I mean, DC was definitely one of my favorites.
Does he wear you out as well? Because whenever he's in the studio with me, and he's like a hyperactive child, he's full of energy even now. I reckon he could still go out and play.
Oh yeah, he's got the most energy I've ever been around. You know, he would show up in Iowa and you know, train with us a little bit, and he would be out there and trying to do routes, trying to run, trying to keep up with us in the weight room, and it was just, it was a blast to have him. You know, just the energy that he brings to the game, yeah, and what he brings to a building is awesome. So,
and joking aside, what he brought to the position, because that Colts team back then, they kind of flexed him out like a wide receiver, and the position has evolved now, hasn't it? For people like yourself, like George Kittle and you know, Travis Kelce, you guys can be big wide receivers, not just tight ends.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, he definitely started that, and you know, we've built on it, just trying to be able to, you know, run the same routes that a receiver can, and then, you know, block with like a tackle can, you know, and that's really the whole, you know, that's how you become great in this league at this position, is being able to do both, and understanding that you have to make an impact in the game. And that's not just, you know, from one aspect to the other. It's, you know, in all aspects, whether it's run game or pass game. And so to be able to split us out, you know, at Z or at X or at F or, you know, whatever they need us, and then be able to come and be attached to the tackle and, you know, work triples and, you know, work combination blocks with those guys. That's how you define a great tight end.
You went from Iowa to the Detroit Lions, first round pick, 8th overall in 2019. Does 8th overall fill you with joy, or do you also feel some pressure because there's a lot invested in you?
No, I mean, I've never really been a pressure guy. I've always kind of just, you know, tried to stay within my own and, you know, understand that, you know, they asked me to be in this league, and that's where I'm going to be. You know, I'm going to try to do my best for each team that, you know, wants me to be a part of it. And so, you know, being in Detroit, it was a great opportunity for me. And, you know, I really appreciated all those guys there to give me that opportunity to be in this league. But, you know, now here in Minnesota, it's a fresh start. It's a great opportunity for me to be here. I'm super excited to be a part of this team and be a part of this organization. So it's truly been a blessing to be here.
You're a Pro Bowl tight end with the Lions. So then how do you react when you get traded? And maybe just what you are comfortable sharing. We see the transaction, we see the headline, but there's a human impact, right? Suddenly you're moving house, you're meeting new people in the locker room, you got to load everything up. How did you find out and how did you feel about this opportunity and the way it happened?
Yeah, I mean, I just got a call and was told that I was being traded here. And then, you know, after that, it was, all right, let's go pack up. And so I packed a suitcase and I've been living in the hotel ever since. So I'm still trying to find a place around here. But, you know, it was a whirlwind of events for sure. But, you know, it's one of those life-changing events that it's just a great opportunity for me. You know, I'm just very excited. But yeah, I mean, it was definitely a lot for the family and, you know, for everyone involved, but it's closer to home. It's, you know, it's around the Midwest. And so I'm excited to be here for sure.
How do you cope with living in a hotel room? Because I guess there are pluses. You don't have to do the dishes and stuff like that, but then it's just a hotel room. How's that been?
Yeah. Yeah. It's been all right. I'm definitely ready to get out of there for sure. It's been the last couple of days I've been starting to the walls are starting to close in on me. So I'm ready to get into a house. So.
Last couple, obviously this team is doing very well and we're seeing the fun you're having, you know, the touchdown celebrations, the turnover celebrations, and then the plane rides seem epic. what's it like kind of in terms of the vibe and the atmosphere around the team and maybe just give us an idea of what it's like on the plane?
Yeah. I mean, it's been amazing. I mean, the vibe of these guys, the amount of fun that we get to have here, you know, it's been awesome. I mean, I don't think there's ever a slow day around here, you know, just because all the guys are wanting to have fun. We're all, you know, goofing around and, you know, that's how you build camaraderie in the locker room. And that's really what they've done here. And so, I mean, yeah, you know, after you come back from a win and you're on the plane, I mean, it doesn't stop there, you know, the win doesn't stop when we leave the field. So it's definitely bumping on that plane for sure.
I'm not sure about Kirk trying to pull off all the chains, and I know Kirk pretty well as well, so I'll say that with confidence. But he's playing so well, isn't he? What do you think? You know, you've only been, again, you've probably seen him at Pro Bowls and around the league, but now you're with him every day in practice, meetings, practice, games. What do you think of Kirk Cousins, your impressions?
Yeah, I mean, that's a guy that, you know, carries himself like a professional. You know, he's always coming into work ready to go. You know, there's not an off day with him. And so when you're around a guy like that and, you know, he wants to get better. He wants to teach. He wants to learn. He, you know, there's there's a sense of, you know, that we need to step up to his level too. And so that's what every guy in that huddle is doing, is trying to, you know, step up to that level. And, you know, like we said, like I said, just to have a guy that can lead that and, you know, has been around the league, you know, for a long time and understands defenses, understands coverages, and, you know, just trying to teach that to us and to these younger guys. And it's been great to be around him. You know, just the philosophy of the game that he has.
He told me in the summer that, you know, the media kind of laugh at some of the stuff when he gets really fired up, you know, you like that and all of that. But he said the players in the locker room, they encourage me to do more of it.
I mean, oh, we love it. We love it. Yeah. I mean, it's, we love when he gets fired up for sure. It's great to see, you know, just the emotion that he has and the amount of excitement he has for the game.
I know you're always in the bubble. It's a grind at the moment. It's week to week. But when you get a moment or in the off season, whenever it is, what do you like to do away from the NFL?
You know, in the off season, I like to golf. I golfed in high school. And so, you know, I usually try to get away and do a little bit of that. Sometimes it's a little long, but, you know, I love getting out on the course and, you know, hitting a few balls around for sure.
All right. You can have a game with Thielen. He's big into his golf, isn't he? So.
I love it. Yeah, exactly.
How wild was that win last week?
Yeah, I mean, that was crazy. That was definitely one of the craziest games, I mean, I've ever been a part of. And I think a lot of guys in this locker room and on this staff said the same thing. So, you know, that it might just be one of those once in a lifetime games that you get to be a part of. And, you know, it was a good thing that we were on the top of it. So,
but what does it say about the team? Do you think, and I know you've only been there a short time, but down 27-10 and you guys keep plugging away.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think that's something that this team has kind of said, you know, throughout the entire year. And I mean, especially since I've been here, is, you know, we got guys that will come up to me and they'll be like, oh, don't worry about it, dude. We'll come back. We're going to make a play, you know. So it's the sense of confidence and the sense of, you know, camaraderie that we have in this locker room that is really, you know, there's just not a doubt in our mind that we're going to be able to, you know, figure out a way to, pull the game out and come out with a win. So, you know, it is definitely a sense that I'm not used to, and you know, but a sense that I can definitely get used to. So it's been great to be here for the last 2 weeks, and you know, just like I said, the sense of guys that we have and this locker room has been great.
I've been looking at the All 22 film before I was waiting for you to come on, and you, it looks like on the image that I froze, you have a great view of Justin Jefferson's catch on 4th and 18. You're on that side of the field. I mean, talk us through it. What did you think of that?
Yeah, I mean, that was an absurd catch. You know, I mean, it was one of those that I saw the ball in the air, looked back, and I mean, yeah, I was right there. I don't think I'll ever forget that, you know, just that image in my head. Him going up, and then I was like, oh man, he did catch it, you know, because I just saw his hand behind the ball, and you know, I was like, shoot, that's one of those. And then he comes down with it, and it was like, oh shit, all right, here we go, let's keep this thing rolling. So yeah, I mean, that just gives credit to how good of a player he is. You know, he just, you know, wants the ball, you know, continues to fight, and doesn't matter if it's in the grasp of the defender or not. You gotta wait till the play's over for sure. So,
you know, it's something special when his gloves and the sleeve have already made it to Canton, Ohio. I don't know if you knew that.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's wild. That is cool.
So, how have you fitted into this offense? How's it been your first couple of weeks in Minnesota?
Yeah, it's been great. You know, I mean, I think I've just been kind of, you know, told everyone around here is just, I want to be a part of this, you know, this puzzle that we have. You know, we got a lot of great players on this offense and on this team, you know, and so just for me to be a piece of that and, you know, to try to fit in as well as I can and, you know, with the scheme and, you know, what I can bring to the table has been, you know, just the last couple of weeks has been awesome. You know, I've just been trying to take the most of this opportunity and, you know, trying to understand this offense, understand, you know, these coaches understand, you know, what they're trying to get done. And it's been a great couple of weeks. So I'm just looking forward to, you know, keep rolling.
Has it been a busy couple of the weeks as well? Not obviously just on the field, but is there a lot of, are you taking homework home? Is there a lot of extra study, trying to get up to speed mentally?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of that, you know, and it's one of those things where you can't get used to doing the little things that you always do, you know. So it's been great for you know, for me to just kind of get back into the grind of things and really, you know, honing in on the details of the offense and the details of the tight end position, you know, because you do have to know a lot, whether it's the run game or the pass game. It's just just how they detail it and how they do it here is, it's been great, you know. And this is my fourth offense, so it's been, it's definitely been a little easier to learn just based on how many you go through. It's definitely been, taking homework home for sure.
Another big game coming up this weekend, the Dallas Cowboys. We've got it on Sky Sports NFL, but I mean, the way your team is playing, the way you're positioned, these big games are going to keep coming week in, week out now, aren't they?
Yeah, I don't think we don't have a big game on the schedule now. You know, it's it's a national televised game. You know, and it's a game that a lot of people are going to be watching. And you know, with Dallas, I've actually already played them this year just from being in Detroit. And so you know, to be able to have that challenge again and go up against the 11. 90, you know, all this defense again is going to be fun. It's going to be a challenge, but you know, it's something that I'm looking forward to, and I know a lot of guys in this locker room are looking forward to.
Yeah, well, as Vikings fans in the UK, will be watching, cheering you on. Good luck this weekend.
Perfect, thank you.
This is 7-time Pro Bowler Cam Jordan, and you're listening to the Neil Reynolds Podcast.
So there you are. I hope you enjoyed my conversation with TJ Hockenson. Looking forward to watching him play the rest of this season alongside Kirk Cousins, Justin Jefferson, Adam Thielen. What an offense the Minnesota Vikings have got. Dalvin Cook in the backfield. Star-studded, which is a perfect segue to bring in producer Gary Hayes. What a star.
Oh, it's been a while, isn't it?
It has been a while. It's been fantastic. No, I mean, it's been a while, yeah. It's been a while, as you
said.
Since
before the London games. You've been everywhere, and I've started going everywhere.
It is. We've been jetting around the globe, as they say.
Messaging each other on WhatsApp, getting the podcast episodes put out, but not really having time to chat to each other.
While I'm in Germany and you're in Switzerland, and I'll soon be in California and Nevada and America and... Heading out west with Elite Sports Travel, which is
I wanted to talk to you about, because I was mindful of that coming up, because I was meant to go on a trip of my own, but now I'm going to the World Cup, so different sport, but I won't be able to go on my trip that I was talking about before when I was going to see the Cowboys, if you remember. But tell me about your trip, Neil, because this is obviously, we've been speaking about it at different times, but you're off to the US.
Yeah, so it's the Neil Reynolds West Coast Road Trip. It's from December the 3rd to the 12th, and there's still time to get involved, get on board at Elite Sports Trav, at Neil Reynolds NFL on Twitter for all the details, but it's from December the 3rd. They're going to be able to watch games, the Los Angeles Chargers at the Las Vegas Raiders. Then we're going to have a Monday Night Football watch-along in Las Vegas. I'm going to be there from Monday night because I've got my Sky duties on Sunday. Then we're all going to go on the bus together to LA, which is going to be great. And then we're going to watch the Raiders at the Rams. And then the group are going to go on to San Francisco, have a stadium tour. There's going to be a stadium tour of SoFi. And they're going to watch Tampa Bay at San Francisco to wrap up the trip. So they're going to see Tom Brady, Debo Samuel, George Kittle, Christian McCaffrey, all those stars. And I think the best thing about this is, so I'm going to arrange, we're going to have like a watch along in Las Vegas. We're going to have a drinks event in LA, and I've already booked some amazing guests for that, which I can't reveal right now.
Who are these guests?
Can't tell you yet. It's all a process. But this is the thing. I'm going to bring in some of my friends from around the NFL, and we all just get to hang out together. The fans get to all hang out together. I'll be with them from Monday to Friday on that trip. So yeah, it's a lot of. I'm really looking forward to it. I couldn't go last year because of COVID, so I joined them virtually at every leg. But I'm absolutely enthralled and ecstatic to be going this time around. So if anyone wants to get involved, wants to join us, Elite Sports Travel are first class. They are best in class. Everything they do is really first rate. They look after you from start to finish. I had a dinner with some fans in Munich around the Germany game, which was arranged by Elite Sports Travel. It was a great night, was had by all. So at Elite Sports Trav on Twitter for all the booking and financial details that you'll need.
When was the last time you went to a game in the US?
Crikey. So that would have been the Super Bowl. The Super Bowl that Kansas City won at the end of the 2019 season. I hadn't even thought of that.
So it's been a long time. So you're going to be as excited as everyone else to go on this trip, I guess.
Yeah, I might be even more excited. I might be the first one. Well, and also for me, Gary, this is the thing. I'm sitting with the fans. I'm just going to sit with all of the punters that are coming with us. So I can watch a game without a producer talking in my ear. I can stuff my face full of popcorn, maybe have a beer or two, maybe. I'm really looking forward to that as well. It'd be great to see SoFi Stadium.
In our first episode, you said to Fitz that you were talking about drinking games and stuff on the golf course, and you were like, I'm not a good drinker. I'm not into my hard liquors. So maybe two beers is sort of where you should stop.
Two beers would be enough.
Because it could be Ben starts phoning you going, Neil, it was a great trip, but never again.
Yeah, you're done. You're one and done. go back to doing
came
it virtually.
Out and that was it. Everyone got more than their money's worth.
You know, I think it's, I'm more of a kind of pink wine guy, which I don't know many people ever say that. But yeah, I'll have a rosé or two. Let's put it that way.
The California sun. So let's get on to the mailbag, shall we? It's been a while.
Absolutely.
I thought we were going to have loads and loads of questions, which we did have, but we've cherry-picked our favourites. So I just want to start off with the Dynasty Grill. Sounds like where you'd get a good rack of ribs, I reckon.
Nice.
Dynasty Grill, FF Dynasty Grill on Twitter says, Neil, the game in Munich seemed to take it to another level. Are there any lessons that the UK can take when hosting international games going forward?
So I've had a lot of conversations since the game in Munich at the weekend, the Bucks beating the Seahawks, with people who work at NFL UK, people who work in the NFL, people at Sky, even my own family who go to a lot of the games at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. Look, don't get me wrong, it was fantastic. It was bonkers. I mean, they didn't leave the stadium for 20 minutes after the final gun. They were, the singing of the Country Road, Take Me Home Country Roads at the 2 minute warning is something I'll never forget. But I will just say that we shouldn't all fall into the kind of recency bias. The games in the UK are awesome. The fans in the UK are awesome and are excellent at supporting the NFL. So I don't think we need to learn anything from Germany. I would say that the passion was the same in Germany. They were there early. They wanted the party to get started. That's the same when I've been hosting tailgate parties at Wembley or at Tottenham. People are there from like 9 in the morning. They were banging on the gates at 8:30 a.m. in Germany. Look, don't get me wrong. It was really, really special. I was privileged to be there. I actually got quite emotional about it while I was wrapping up on Sky because I'd been through so many NFL Europe games in that country. I covered a Frankfurt Galaxy game against the London Monarchs in Frankfurt in 1992 as a 20-year-old. I was in that stadium reporting for First Down newspaper. So 30 years later, I'm at a regular season game. But it doesn't mean that what they do is better than UK or anything like that. It could just be, it can be slightly different, and it will be slightly different the same way it'd be different if you went to Seattle or you went to New York for a game. I also think it's important to stress that if more games are added in Germany, which I think they will be in the coming years, they won't detract from the UK. If there's a second game in Germany next year, it won't be at the expense of a game in the UK. We're still going to have three games next year. The Jags have got their own deal at Wembley Stadium, and there's already a deal in place for two games per year at Tottenham Stadium. So we're going to have three games a year. If people can get over to Germany, I thoroughly recommend it. It was amazing. But so are our games. So I think it's just a win-win that we're all going to get to enjoy these games, and it's more games just a short flight away for us. So the only other thing I would say, what we could learn. So I feel like their music in Germany is much cheesier, and I love it. It was right, Gary, as I would say, it was right up
the Europop.
It wasn't even that. No, it was just like your classic kind. So it was like, "Hey, baby." You know, right?
A Dirty Dancing classic.
Followed by, on the next commercial break, ABBA. Followed by Staying Alive from the Bee Gees. Followed by Ra Ra Rasputin. I mean, I couldn't get enough of it, Gary. It was, as they would say in Munich, it was right up my Strasse.
It sounds like an episode of Eurotrash, if you remember that.
I do remember that, yes. But that was all the beauty of it, right? They were having so much fun. I saw, you know, the whole Country Roads thing. The game restarted. The music had stopped. And the fans carried on singing at the top of their voice. Then they cut to the big screen earlier in the fourth quarter. And the Bee Gees are Staying Alive's playing. And there's a guy with two of the biggest pints of beer. Well, they must have been three pints. I don't know. Just standing there boogieing away on the big screen. I mean, it was brilliant, but so are our games. So it's all good. Everything's going in the right way. I've never been more excited about the NFL internationally.
Do you think as well, though, that maybe, you know, we're 15 years in now, aren't we, in terms of matches in the UK? Not to say that British fans take it for granted, but, you know, Germany have seen this going, fans in Germany have seen this happening for a very long time in the UK. So when it eventually got to them, they wanted to make a moment of it.
Yeah, so if you think about the early games in the UK, you only have one game a year. So we would book out Trafalgar Square, and I would host a huge stage show for sort of 8 hours that would have 10,000 people in Trafalgar Square. Then we did the NFL on Regent Street, which had, through the course of a day, 500,000 people coming through Regent Street experiencing the NFL. You can't do that when you've got three games a year. You just can't. I mean, you wouldn't do that in America even. You know, you can't make it like a huge one-off when it's not a one-off. Now, the NFL still do things to grow the brand. You know, we had the NFL on South Bank event this year, all-day event before the first game, which was brilliant. So we still are going to do those things. But yes, we've been here and everything that the German fans experienced on Sunday, we experienced in 2007. You think, whatever you were doing in your life in 2007, that's a lot of days, weeks, months, years that have passed, and you get used to having games. Now, I don't think we get, look at the atmosphere at the Green Bay New York Giants game at Tottenham. It's still stunning here whenever we have a game. The end of the Vikings and Saints was incredible. You know, people on Olympic Way for the Jags and Broncos. So yeah, I said that to somebody, a German reporter was like, this has been amazing how much Munich has kind of embrace the NFL. And I was like, they have, and it's been incredible, but it's your first one, so it's always going to be sort of special. But yeah, we're in a really good place internationally. The NFL commissioner Roger Goodell, when I interviewed him, he said, you know, we're in a great place to be able to bring these games to the fans, you know, bring more games, because we've got great labor deals between the players and the owners, we've got great media deals in place, the league's never been stronger. And this is where they can make their big mark. You're going to max out in America at some point. International growth is the way to go. So, yeah, it's hugely exciting.
Right, so that is Munich.
That was a long answer,
yeah,
wasn't it?
That is Munich wrapped up. So let's move on to
a great day.
Carl McComb, who is known as BK on Twitter, or at McComb Carl. So he says, Neil, do you think the Raiders should tank for the rest of the season, give the one players plenty of experience, and just evaluate the roster going forward? A high pick is definitely needed to get a real quality quarterback and move on from Carr.
I do think that this has obviously come up quite a bit at this time of year, and it happens all the time that teams might subconsciously do it, or ownership might do it by making coaching changes, by suggesting to coaches that they play younger players. You know, the Raiders are in what's shaping up to be a lost season. They're one of the biggest disappointments of this season. I think Derek Carr still has his moments. I'm not sure if he's done there. I think he probably is, but I still think he's a pretty decent quarterback. But inside the locker room, players just don't tank. This game's too physical, too demanding on the body and on their minds as they get deeper into the season. It's a real grind. They might subconsciously give up, or their bodies might break down. But they're too proud. They're too proud, these players. And whenever you say that to a player who's in the locker room, they take offense at it. So I don't think there'll be any deliberate tanking from the Raiders. But once it becomes a lost season and it's going the way it's going for them, then naturally there's a drop off. Your intensity drops and the result is more losses. So they may end up getting one of those really high draft picks because of that. But I don't think it'll be intentional.
Yeah, because I think you look at any professional sportsman, right? They get to the peak of their sport, the peak of their game, and they haven't done that by throwing the towel in at certain times when it's been easy to do it.
Yeah, I mean, it's just too much that goes into it, and there's too much competitive spirit in NFL players. I mean, I've seen that before. I've been sat on a tour bus with Dallas Clark challenging me to arm wrestles just because we're stuck in traffic on the M1 or something. I'm like, Dallas, what are we doing? What are we doing?
Who won that arm wrestle, Neil?
He did, and he let me use both of my arms to his one. I've told you this before. Dallas is country strong.
That's sheep shearing he's doing.
He is a farmer, so yes, there's certainly something to that. But no, let's keep an eye on the Raiders. But they and Denver have been two of the biggest disappointments, which I think actually might be a prelude to the last question.
Well, yes. So you're not allowed to say the Raiders for this or Giselle.
No.
So, Neil, from James Taplin, Tappers 1975 on Twitter, who or what is the biggest fall from grace so far this season, team or player?
So, I mean, I just said Denver a disappointment, they've kind of not been making much noise for a few years now. There's two falls from grace, biggest ones for me. One's a player, one's a team. So Denver's quarterback, Russell Wilson, looks a shadow of the guy who went to 9 Pro Bowls, won a Super Bowl, went to another Super Bowl. And what's really interesting to watch there is that he's tied to the Denver Broncos now for the next 7 years. They traded for Russell Wilson and he looks lost. And it's not just always in a new system. He's a veteran quarterback. He's been around the NFL 10 years. You should know what he's doing by mid-November. So they are in a real problem situation there, because is this a decline for Russell Wilson? He wasn't a great quarterback last year for the Seattle Seahawks. So that's one. And the other is the Los Angeles Rams. And they can still turn this around. Their division is not being run away with. And they have some star players. Aaron Donald and can they get Cooper Kupp back, who's now gone on to injured reserve, for a month? They've got Matthew Stafford, but I just don't see it at the moment. This is one of the biggest falls from grace you have seen from a Super Bowl champion. This is one of the most feeble title defenses that I can remember in the NFL, and to the point where they're just not filling you with much confidence. And I'm shocked, because they are loaded with stars. They have a lot of star players. Their core of their team has stayed the same. And they just haven't got that magic from a year ago. Their offensive line is poor. Matthew Stafford's struggling. They've got no running game. Aaron Donald's gone quiet. It's not been brilliant for the Rams. And that has been...
Do you think that could be a motivation thing, though? Sometimes you see it, don't you, that teams... They hit the top of the mountain, then it's hard to sort of drag themselves back up to go and do it again.
Yeah, very few teams in the NFL do that. The last time there was a repeat champion in the NFL was the 2002, 2003, or 3 and 4. So it's the Patriots. So the Patriots in 03.
We were Wikipedia early on for everyone.
Yeah, early 2000s was the last time, and it was the New England Patriots. And, it's not happened since then. And the reason is it's very, very hard to repeat as an NFL champion. I think you can say all you want about how you're motivated to go and do it again. I think I think it's, if you climb all the way to the top of Mount Everest and stand on the top, and then you come back down and somebody says, right, now you've got to go back up again. As you get halfway up, you might be like, well, that's all right. I've already been up there once. You know, it's getting hard now. I've already been up there once. Or you might at least subconsciously think that, you know, and that can happen in a lot of sports, but it certainly happens in the NFL. That's why we don't have repeat champions very often. The NFL's designed to knock you down if you're at the top and to raise you up if you're at the bottom. So, yeah, but I do think there's something subconscious to it that you just, your hunger go. Not everyone's Tom Brady. Brady is a special animal. You know, as soon as he wins one, he gets drunk on a boat, launches the Super Bowl trophy across the river to Ryan Jensen, and then he gets back to training and goes and tries to win again. So, yeah, I do think there's some of that to the Rams.
But then you think about it as well, and you look at the coach. Sean McVay got married in the off-season as well, so you look and think his life would have changed a lot. So a lot changes, isn't it? A lot changes off the pitch and or off the field, and you don't realise it.
Yeah, and they've not really been able to win over the crowd in LA, really. You know, there's a lot of fans from opposing teams go and fill out that stadium. And this is the Super Bowl champions. So, yeah, all across the board, just very, very disappointing from the Rams. And, yeah, we'll just see if they can turn it around down the stretch, because they do have match winners on their team.
Right, I've just had another question come in, actually, for the mailbag. It's from...
Absolutely shocking. I agreed to three. It's not in my contract. Carry on.
Yeah, it's from Gary Hayes. Neil, who is our next guest on the podcast?
Gary, the mystery tour continues. So I'm in process of lining up a couple of potentials. So I'm not going to tell you. I wish I had more prep, but I am constantly wheeling and dealing behind the scenes to line up interviews, as we did with TJ Hockenson this week, which, yeah, these are the ones where they come together on the fly quite a bit. So you can stay tuned, Gary, and you will find out next week, because you'll have to set it all up. So, but yeah, so that's where we are. My thanks to TJ Hockenson. Thank you, Gary. Good to speak to you again. Oh,
well,
hang on.
Speaking to you again, Neil.
Where are you going?
Look forward to our next episode.
Where are you going? Well, I know where you're going. The World Cup is on. Why are you going? Well, three questions. Why are you going? Number two, what games are you going to? Number three, are you still going to produce this podcast?
Well, I feel like I'm in the spotlight now. Right. Why am I going? Because FIFA called me and said, we need you to produce our official podcast of Arsene Wenger. So I said, yes, I will be there. So I was in Zurich all last week, and then I'm going to Qatar to go to 32 matches to cover it all. And what was the other question? Well, and I will still be doing this podcast, yes. So there we go, in a nutshell. But if you do,
are you taking
the podcast?
Yeah, tell me, go on, give the plug.
Well, the podcast is called FIFA Insight Live with Arsene Wenger, and it's all about the technical aspects of the World Cup and sort of bringing punditry and expertise and analysis to a whole nother level in the media, because we're sort of bringing listeners behind the scenes. And because it's a really unique World Cup where everything's happening within a driving distance of the other game, we're going to a game, jumping in a car, driving to the next game. So when we are in the car, we're going to record and get the perspective of Wenger and a few others like Jürgen Klinsmann is part of the technical study group at FIFA. And then so then there's me in one car, and there's another team in another car, because they're doing two games a day. And that's it. So
fantastic. Well, so last question, two more sort of questions. Are you taking a wall chart with you?
I've never done wall charts, but I've got a sticker album.
Oh, I love a World Cup. I love a World Cup wall chart. I got a World Cup wall chart, which I used to kind of stick on the door of the kids' playroom. And Mrs. R was never very happy. She doesn't like a wall chart. And I said, oh, well, it has to go up. I said, you've got to keep track. And this one was too big to fit on the door. So it's got to be filled out, folded up, filled out, folded up. Because I need it now. It's almost like, becomes like my diary for the next month. I can't agree to...
That's a problem.
I can't agree to shopping trips if, like, Qatar are playing Ecuador or something, or because you have to watch all the big ones as well.
Well, but the games are kicking off at 10 a.m. here.
I know. What about the days when it's like 10, 1, 4 and 7? I mean, I know it's NFL season, but they're not getting any work out of me on those days. So last question. So you asked me who our next guest is. Well, your job is to, while you're on the road with the likes of Jürgen Klinsmann, as soon as you tell me Jürgen's a fan of the NFL, that's the next guest, mate. I mean, we're talking crossover pod and everything.
Arsene, how is your relationship with Bill Belichick?
Yeah, and that's how you go. So you're kind of on a scouting mission as well. So,
oh, he does live in LA, Jürgen, so just outside. Fantastic. So I wonder if he goes to whatever he's one of the fans, you know, one of the few to go to watch the Rams and the Chargers. Nearly called the Chargers the Bolts then.
Well, that is a nickname, so it could be.
Oh, there we go. So, knowledge.
All right. So, you're going to get into that oil money. You're never going to come back. And we are producerless from the rest of the way. Okay, I'll see how it is. So. Well, enjoy, Gary. Enjoy. And so, my thanks to Gary Hayes. That's probably the last time we'll ever hear from him. And thank you for listening. We'll be back next week with another very special guest from the NFL. See you next time. Been listening to the Neil Reynolds podcast brought to you by Elite Sports Travel. This episode was hosted by myself, Neil Reynolds, while Gary Hayes is our producer. Gary and I have also written this series together. Our consultant producers are Kerry Levy, Jackie Anklin, Nick Lapworth, and Neil Pacchietto. Taylor Hayes mixed this episode and also composed our theme music. If you'd like to keep up to date with everything we're doing throughout the season, then please follow us on Twitter and Instagram at the NR Podcast. My personal account is also at Neil Reynolds NFL. If you've enjoyed this podcast and would like to hear more like it, then visit highway61.media. That's HWY61.media. Please tell your friends about the podcast and help spread the word. Better still, leave us a rating and review wherever you're listening. This has been a Highway 61 production for the Reynolds Podcast Network.